Hi, I'm Pramod, and I'm going to talk about today about large-scale data processing. In particular, the goal of our project is to build a generic system for doing large-scale incremental processing, both transparently and efficiently. So to start with, recently we have seen a large number of online services being offered to the users. For example, web search and online social networks. And all these services rely on repeatedly processing these evolving data sets. So for example, consider the example of for web search. In web search, the page rank is recomputed for every new web crawl. Importantly, the data sets on which these services operate on, it evolves slowly. So consider the numbers that we have from Yahoo search. The successive web crawls differs only in the range of only 0.1% to 10%. What this implies over here is that we can benefit if we can leverage some of the previously computed results instead of recomputing everything from scratch. Especially at large scale, doing computation in incremental fashion means you can get huge speedups as well as savings in the cluster utilization. So precisely to realize these benefits, internet giants like Google and Yahoo have built systems which does this incremental processing. The most recent proposal is from Google called Percolator, which is in deployment at Google for maintaining their web indexes up to date for their web search. And similar system proposed from the Yahoo as well. However, we believe that these systems have limitations. The first and foremost limitation over here is that these systems propose a new programming model, which means that programmers not only have to learn new programming model, but the existing applications need to be rewritten according to the new programming model. The second and more serious drawback of the system is that they require programmers to implement dynamic algorithm. The literature shows over here it's that implementing or devising a new dynamic algorithm is kind of a difficult as compared to writing a standard static algorithm. So let me show you with an example why it is the case that coming up with the dynamic algorithm is much more difficult than the static algorithm. So consider a simplest example that we are given a list of elements and we want to find the maximum element in the list. The naive way to do this is to scan the list and report the maximum element in the linear time. However, if the list is modified, we delete some item and we insert some new element and we want to recompute the maximum over here, with the naive algorithm, the recomputing from scratch will take linear time again, which is obviously not desirable for large data sets. So ideally, we would like to have something called dynamic algorithm. In this case, we would maintain a maximum heap. By maintaining a heap over here, we can efficiently report the incremental updates in logarithmic time. For example, if we have an insertion here, we can simply handle this in logarithmic time, which is asymptotically faster than doing a linear list scan. In general, there is a trade-off between static algorithms and dynamic algorithms. Static algorithms are easy to design and implement, but the drawback over there is that they are inefficient to handle the incremental updates. On the other hand, dynamic algorithms are kind of difficult to devise as well as implement, but they are efficient to handle the incremental updates. Systems like Percolator require programmer to implement a dynamic algorithm, which for the simplest case, we have shown that we need to implement heap, but as the application gets complex, devising a dynamic algorithm is considerably difficult. Moreover, in many cases, if you see the algorithm community, coming up with the dynamic algorithm is, for many applications, is still an open problem. So what do we want to do in our project? We want to retain something for the simplicity of the static algorithm. At the same time, we want to achieve efficiency of dynamic algorithms. And especially in particular, we want to do this in the context of distributed systems for doing large-scale data processing. And in the rest of my talk, I would focus on MapReduce, which is a de facto standard for doing large-scale data processing. So our approach takes an unmodified MapReduce program, which is written for operating on a static data, and it automatically makes it incremental under the hood. So without changing the program. And how do we do this? We actually leverage some of the work from the programming languages community, namely self-adjusting computations. And the idea is very simple over here, is that we break the computation into sub-computations, smaller sub-computations, and we memoize their result. And we track the dependencies between data and the computation throughout the execution. When the incremental run, when the data changes, we actually propagate this change by recomputing only the path which is affected by the change in the input. So let us see at a very high level how does it work in MapReduce. So in MapReduce, we incorporate this change propagation where we apply this principle in the context of MapReduce. So we memoize the results at the granularity of task. So in the MapReduce case, we have map task and reduce task. We memoize their results, and by keeping track of the data flow graph of the MapReduce and change in the input, we can efficiently recompute the change input, and we can update it accordingly. However, in order to do this in an effective manner, there are a bunch of challenges that we need to address. And namely, first and foremost challenge over here is this: how to detect changes in the input. As you can know that these data that we get is maybe stored in the unstructured way, we need to reason out what input has been changed, and need to this kind of acts as an input for the full system. Secondly, since the intermediate results for the previous computations are stored in distributed settings, we want to minimize the data movement in the cluster so that we schedule tasks in a way where we can schedule in an order so that we can leverage some of the memoized results, and we need to minimize the data movement. And the last and the important challenge over here is that since MapReduce is designed to do kind of a batch processing jobs, how to do fine-grained update or incremental update to the output. So we talk about how do we address all these challenges in the paper, but in the talk I would like to focus in on one of the challenges: how to perform fine-grained update. So as I already mentioned that MapReduce is designed for doing a batch processing job, it's not possible to control the granularity at a very fine level. So we can control the granularity at the map task, but the reduced task, which receives the input from all the mappers, a small change in the input can lead to re-execution of entire reduced task, which is not desirable over here. And this is something which we cannot control because it's dependent on the input data, because reducer is aggregating some of the keys which are received from the different mappers. So to address this, we divide this big map reduced task into smaller subtasks. And to do so, we leverage some of the already present constructs in the MapReduce programming framework, namely combiners. So combiners are used as a mode for reducing the amount of data transferred from map to reduce phase by doing a local reduction at the map task. And we use these combiners at map task at the reduce site, and we break this big reduce task into a chain of or a tree of small subtasks. So in particular, this example, as I show, this big reduce task, which need to be re-executed with a small change in the input, we replace this reduce task with a tree-based approach over here, and which we call it as contraction phase. By doing so, if there is small change in input, we only need to re-execute small path over here. That way, we can do a fine-grained update to the output. So to show the effectiveness of our approach, we built a prototype of MapReduce with these principles, all these three principles. And I would like to show the numbers of one of the applications that I talked about in the example, which is computing the maximum element with the single modification in the input. So in particular, the graph shows the speed up, where on the x-axis I show the number of element in the list, and on y-axis, the speed up, which is calculated as the ratio of runtime for doing computing from scratch by ratio of for runtime for doing incremental computation. As you can see over here is that as the data increases, we can get asymptotic performance gains. So in summary, to reinstate our goal, we wanted to retain the simplicity of static algorithm. At the same time, we want to achieve the efficiency of dynamic algorithm for doing incremental computations. And in this talk, I showed how to achieve these goals in the context of MapReduce paradigm. In future, we want to learn this from experience and want to apply it to the broad class of distributed data processing engines. Yeah. Thanks.
John Wilkes, Google. It seems to me you might be putting some restrictions on the kind of things you can do in your reduced task in order to make it dividable up in the way you described. Could you talk to that?
Yeah, so for doing fine-grained updates, we require programmers to write combiners, but the most of the applications that we used over here from the Apache Mahout package, which is the general library, almost all of them have the combiners, and writing combiners is not that difficult. That's what we believe. But given if the existing programmer doesn't support combiners, then we also have this task level memoization, which means that we will do the caching at the level of task, not won't be able to do the at the granularity of smaller subtasks. Yeah.
So, Chris Callahan, Google, MapReduce has an inherent tension, which is the smaller you make the tasks which you have for large MapReduces, the more your management overhead becomes for managing all of the metadata associated with the tasks. And you've made an argument here, which is the smaller you make your tasks, the faster your MapReduce goes because you can do incremental updates.
Yes.
How do you resolve that tension, or do you?
Yeah, so that's true in the case that if you make this task smaller, you essentially need to pay additional cost in terms of management. But you need to understand over here is that this is just paying cost for the only one-time cost, because most of the computations runs repeatedly over the time. And you would be end up paying cost only once, but reaping the benefits for doing incremental updates for a longer period of time. So that would is just paying for the one time, I guess. That's supposed to be.
I have a quick question. It seems that just doing the contraction phase by itself on a regular MapReduce job might have some gains in some cases. Did you notice or measure that?
Yeah, that's true, because you essentially reducing the amount of data and per reduced task and doing local reduction. That's true. Yeah.
But it didn't measure the effect?
No. But we are doing it in this sequentially at the node, so it doesn't give additional benefit for the fresh run. But if you can parallelize this contraction phase as well, you can get benefits over there. Yeah.
Okay.